Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Now, on the Exposé with your hosts, Molly and Rachel. It's the 2020 92nd Academy Awards. Are you ready for some Hollywood glam?
Good morning, Vienna.
Hello.
Hello.
We are here today to talk about something that I think everybody has an opinion about, and that's movies.
Buzz, buzz. So, Molly, what's your favorite movie?
This is kind of a tough question because I feel like there's so many different kinds of movies. So, like, if I had to tell you what movie I want to watch over and over, it's going to be the Lord of the Rings trilogy because I don't know. I grew up reading the books, and also, like, it's something that I share with my brother, so it's kind of like a thing we can do together.
I had no idea.
Yeah, like last when I had the flu at the beginning of the year, my brother was home from college still, and I somehow convinced him to watch. Like, we didn't get through all three of them, but we watched two of the Lord of the Rings movies, and it just, I don't know. It's like the one time he actually sat there and paid attention to them. He wasn't like doing something else. So yeah, it's a bond we share.
That's very sweet. I had no idea.
So I feel like, you know, those are like the huge movies, like big, huge budgets and special effects and stuff. But I do like some, you know, just regular, not regular movies, but like less, you know, franchisey movies. One that I really have enjoyed. Well, I am a big fan of Wes Anderson, so I think probably my favorite movie of his is The Grand Budapest Hotel. I just really love his style and, like, the artistic, the way he composes his shots, and everything is so color-blocked and just really pretty. And just everything's so quirky. I just like the, like, little weird quirky things. Like, the characters are fun and just, I don't know.
He definitely has a unique
style. I feel like some people think it's a little bit too quirky and cutesy, but I like it. And then one movie we actually saw when we were looking through Oscar winners that I forgot that I absolutely loved was The Artist. And that's that silent movie. It's not a silent, it is a silent movie, but it's not a silent movie. It's about silent movies, and it kind of is one too. But it's just a real, I just really enjoyed that. Even though they don't talk, it's just a really good story, really engaging.
I guess, so. And something different. I mean,
So how about you, Rachel?
Well, I feel like there's different levels to movies, like you kind of said. So I would say my franchisee movies would be the Hobbit trilogy.
I like them too, but...
I know. Well,
my heart lies with
the Lord of the Rings
because that's what was out when I was younger. So,
and I think I kind of messed up a little bit because I watched The Hobbit first before I watched Lord of the Rings. And don't like burn me or anything.
Okay.
But I haven't actually watched all of the Lord of the Rings all the way through. I know. And it's bad, but I can't get into them as much as I can The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Because there's just something about, I don't know. Obviously, it's better CGI and.
Yeah. I think because The Hobbit, I mean, it takes place first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense to kind of watch them first from that aspect of it. One thing that I feel like The Hobbit, for me, like, they do use CGI, and in the old movies, they use a lot more practical effects of, like, people in costumes, and I just, I don't know, I kind of miss that in The Hobbit, but I suppose if you are going the opposite direction, it might look hokey since they don't have those special effects. So.
Right, yeah. And I really, really like the actor that plays Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? That's bad. I can say that I like him and I don't know his name.
No, and I know exactly who we're talking about. He's in a lot of things.
Google. Click, click, click. Martin Freeman.
Yes.
Yes, I really like him as an actor because he's in like Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. What else is he in? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. That was good. Black Panther. He was kind of
funny. Oh, yeah. I funny. Forgot he was
like
in Black Panther.
Like an off character in that. Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
No, you're thinking that's a different guy, right?
It says Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay. He was okay. He was in it, but he wasn't the main guy.
Not the main guy.
Yeah.
But that is a funny movie.
I do. That's, yeah. Was hot. I'm thinking, trying to think of Hot Fuzz. I think I've seen that.
It's just a movie that I've known that my parents have always had on DVD, but I'm like, I'll watch it someday, but I never have.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's like there's a town and people are mysteriously dying, but it's in like England.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I don't know. Because I think Martin Freeman was pretty big in like England, like British stuff, TV and stuff before he made it big.
Yeah.
Over here, broke through to the Hollywood scene.
But. Right. And then I would say some like just lesser movies is like I really like Perks of Being a Wallflower because I enjoyed I feel like the book kind of shaped my adolescence when I was in middle school. Okay. So when the movie came out, it was just like more than. Mm-hmm. And the actor Logan Learman is in it and I really enjoy his acting.
Yeah.
So and I feel like it's very relatable. Like, it takes me back to when I was younger.
I'll have to watch it because I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but yeah. I just never have watched it. So, I don't know. A lot of times when a movie comes from a book, you think it's probably going to be disappointing.
I mean, yeah, the movie is a little disappointing compared to the book,
okay.
But it still hits the major points and it's just very much relatable.
I'll tell you
for
a movie that was terrible. When it came into
like from a book to a movie,
so and I read the books and then I was really excited that they were going to make a movie. It was Stephen King, the Dark Tower series.
It was bad.
It was a terrible movie. Like they totally took the timeline of the books and like mix it around. And like I hadn't even read the whole entire series, but now it's spoiled because they put like stuff that was supposed to be like 10 books down the road. Like I don't know. It was not a good movie.
Yeah,
and it had good actors like Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey, I think.
All right.
And they just really messed that up. So please remake it better. Thank you.
And doesn't Stephen King usually work on the films too?
I feel like he must have checked out for that one because it was not good.
I got it. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, kind of to segue out of that, there was a very important day for movies that just happened last Sunday. The Academy Awards.
The Oscars, better known as.
Yes. I always wondered, did you find anywhere why it's called the Oscars?
I did.
Tell me, please.
So it's called the Oscars because they had a librarian, the Academy's librarian. Her name was Margaret. And she had an Uncle Oscar. And she said the statue resembled her Uncle Oscar. So the name kind of stuck.
That's kind of strange. Like, say that the statue resembles, like, anyone, it's literally, like, the most basic human form.
Yeah.
But sure.
I guess it
sure,
looks
Margaret.
Like Uncle Oscar
Maybe
there.
He was a very statuesque man, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they didn't start officially calling it the Oscars until, like, 1939.
Okay.
Oh, and then like Audrey Hepburn, she's the one that kind of coined it. Like she was the one that was like, I won my first Oscar. I don't know if she's British. No, she's not. She's not.
She does that kind of like
transatlantic.
I want my
not Brandon.
Hold on. We tried to get this right and we never can.
I won my
first Oscar, see?
Yes. You have to like accentuate certain vowels. I think. I won my first Oscar. No, that was bad.
That was basic. Anyways. I keep thinking of like everything has to end like blah blah blah, see. Show me the money, see?
I don't think she was quite
a gangster.
Yeah, I was going to say
detective-y. Like a mobster. Okay, we'll keep working on our transatlantic.
She kind of coined it, so like she said it and it stuck. So thanks, Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah. Basically, just kind of starting at the beginning, the first Academy Awards were in 1929, and it took place basically at a banquet hall, and it was 15 minutes long. And
15?
Yep, 15 minutes long. They basically just got up and gave out, I think they only had like 15 or 20 awards that they gave out at that point.
Was that still, like, because I know it's always at the Roosevelt's Hotel. Was it there too?
Don't think so. It was, yeah, it was somewhere, a guy's restaurant, basically, like a nice restaurant, but like,
yeah,
a banquet center, okay, hall, whatever, 1929. So I think the very next year, they decided to have it broadcast on a radio. And then,
radio.
Ever since then, it has been broadcast in some form, whether it's radio or television.
Mm-hmm.
The first 6 Academy Awards actually covered 2 calendar years. So you could be eligible, and they had it every year, but you could be eligible for anything you did over the 2 previous years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of more considered to be like everything you did in those 2 years. So like, let's say you won best actor. It was like, if you had 3 films come out in that amount of time, it was like, they took all of those into consideration, not just the one role like they do nowadays. So,
okay. So, I mean, since 1929, they've handed out 3,000 of those little guys.
That is a lot.
Yes. And I learned a fun fact that during the war, they didn't hand out the Oscars per se. They handed out something of a similar metal, but because they were on a shortage of whatever these guys are made of, I can't remember.
I believe.
They had a shortage of it, so they handed out something else. But once the war was done, they got their bronze Oscars. They still got them.
Turn in their cheap Oscars for the real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, they could have just stuck with the cheap one, but okay. And Oscar stands 13.5 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And weighs in a robust 8.5 pounds.
I was thinking today, because I did like 3 days in a row of light exercise this week, which I'm proud of myself for doing. But I have like arm weights, like, you know, little barbell things, whatever you want to call those. They are 8 pounds. So I was like, oh, if I had 2 Oscars, I'd basically be doing the same amount of work.
Yeah. So I think the people that hold the Oscars, like when they're accepting the award, I feel like they're a little dramatic. Like, oh, it weighs so heavy.
Look, I will go out there and get one of my hand weights. It's heavier than you think.
I don't think it's that bad.
A gallon jug of water weighs 8 pounds.
Oh, maybe though. Whatever. Just be happy that you won.
Yeah. So I think they're bronze and they're gold plated and they're
24 karat gold. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they've always been on like a black base.
Mm-hmm.
That is some type of metal. And I think that's really the only thing they've revised over time is the base.
Yeah. That's what I looked into as well. So there are 5 original branches to the Academy.
Okay. So the Academy is the
actors, directors.
Okay.
Wait, am I saying what you're not thinking?
No, I was just asking, like, overall, that's who started the Oscars, right? Was this Academy of...
Yes. They're just, it's just, I read that it's 2 guys. They started it.
Okay.
And, I don't know, just kind of snooty, I think. I think overall they're all kind of snooty, but the people that are, you have to apply to be on the board, and it's kind of made up of directors and kind of everyone else in the movie industry.
Gotcha.
But you have to apply to be on it.
Okay.
And probably have some sort of credit.
Yeah.
Is that what you saw? Or no?
Yeah. It was like the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So they had, yeah, they started with five branches. Sorry, go on.
Of actors, directors, producers, technicians, and writers.
Okay. Another kind of funny thing that I found about the Oscars is that when you accept your Academy Award or your Oscar statue, mm-hmm. You have to agree that you're not going to sell it and that your heirs are also not going to sell it before offering it back to the Academy for a dollar. So essentially, the Academy is claiming it. And you have to give them a chance to buy it for $1.
And you know they will.
Yeah.
They
before will. You can sell it, like, to make money or whatever. So that's anyone since 1950 that has won an Academy Award. Basically, the Academy wants all of the awards in a treasury somewhere collected together.
They have it displayed, I'm sure.
Yeah, but people have sold earlier ones from before that, since they didn't have clear-cut rules on ownership of the statues and everything. So there are ones out there that you could probably buy. I know there was one guy who won in the 40s, and he ended up selling his Academy Award for like $20,000 to take care of his wife who had some medical issues. So the Academy kind of questioned him about it, and he was like, my wife's health is more important than this award, so screw you. So he sold it because he won it before they had that in effect.
All right.
So fast forward a little bit to the present day. They've added some more branches to the Academy, right?
I believe so. I'm just trying to get my sorts here.
I feel like there's like 17 branches. And
oof, that's a lot. Duh.
They're just all kinds of branches. Obviously actors, directors, cinematographers, and essentially
musicians.
Mm-hmm. So it's made up of a lot of people, and thousands of people are in the Academy now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been something that has been expanding lately, is they're adding more people, because they used to not add very many people each year. And now, due to some complaints in the recent times that we'll get into later, they have had to add more people every year.
Interesting.
But so how does it work? When you get into the Academy, obviously the awards are a big part of that. How do you get nominated for an award?
This I do know. So if you're an actor, you nominate actors. If you're a film editor, you nominate film editors.
Okay.
Just like so on and so forth. And there's like obviously like rules that you need to abide by. And then all voting members get to pick for Best Picture.
Okay.
All of them.
Yeah. So they basically get ballots sent to them, and I think they get some movies to screen sent to them, and then they put in their preferences. And I believe for Best Picture, they can pick up to 10, and they like rank them and then send those in. And then they have like a separate accounting firm that actually tallies everything up and make sure that everything's good to go.
So we think.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
It's the same firm that's been doing it since like the very beginning.
Okay.
So they are the specific firm that does the Academy Awards.
Okay.
And they tally it up. And then whoever is the top, I believe you have to get 5% to receive a nomination. So like if just one person out of the thousands puts your name down, you may not receive a nomination. But
I think it's pretty easy that anyone can, like, it's super easy to win an Oscar from what I've read. Anyone can win an Oscar.
Can I win an Oscar?
Sure, if you make something and if someone nominates you.
Okay.
You could win an Oscar. And I have the formula.
All right. Well, tell me what the formula is.
So, if you're making a movie, step one, it needs to be more than 2 hours. Because in the past, 76% of all the winners since the 60s.
For Best Picture?
For Best Picture, has had a movie longer than 2 hours. They say it's longer, like it needs to be this length because it feels important to people.
Mm. I suppose if you're spending that much time sitting in a theater,
you're like investing your time in it. So it's got to be an important movie.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say Lord of the Rings feels important after you watch it?
Yeah, because it's like a 15-hour investment.
Yep. Step two, you have to make a drama.
Okay.
Okay?
No comedies, no musicals.
I'm sorry to say, but 93% of Oscar-winning movies are dramas, and only a mere 2% are action or fantasy. So
Return of the King represent. Whoop, whoop.
Exactly. So that's like a huge shock, actually. So that's why, like, Psycho, it was nominated, but it never won. So movies like science fiction and horror movies, they'll never win an
Oscar. They'll never win. But what about the recent win of Parasite this very year?
Listen, I just looked up this information. So this is, like, the most up-to-date.
Okay.
So Parasite's wrong. Parasite's a drama.
Parasite's a drama. Okay.
I actually don't know because I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
But it seems kind of spooky.
I feel like it's kind of thriller, but, like, I feel – now I haven't seen it, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's at the root of it, like, a drama because it's addressing a social controversy.
If you guys have seen Parasite, give us your review. Sure. All right. Step three, you have to set Oscar bait.
Okay. What's Oscar bait?
So there's a specific formula in order to win, and that's providing a safer investment for studios. So, like, if you're going to, let's say, like, Universal Studios, they want to know that you're a safe bet. So you're going to be like, I'm going to make this movie. It's going to be, like, this long. It's going to be a drama. You're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I took the bait. I'm going to give you all my money. So you're going to want to make a movie that has a lot of awesome costumes.
Okay.
Typically, movies like in a time period are very popular.
I did see that too, that a lot of nominees are generally like period pieces, not like
mm-hmm.
things that take place in the modern day.
Yeah, like biographies of like important people.
Yeah.
Is like a big deal.
Okay. I'm going to make a George Washington biopic, and I'm going to win Best Picture.
Dude.
You just wait and see.
Get someone hot to play George Washington.
Who would you cast as George Washington?
Michael Fassbender. Give him some wood teeth.
I can see it. Oh,
can't you?
Like, with the like, powder wig.
He'd look hot. Okay.
George Washington was pretty tall. Is Michael Fassbender pretty tall?
Maybe.
We'll just get short people around him if he's not
tall. Give him an axe. Give him some wood teeth. Oh.
An axe for the cherry tree? What? Okay. Yeah.
After I said it, I'm like, wait, is that right? Am I thinking of Johnny Appleseed?
He plants trees. He doesn't cut them down.
Okay. So like 89% of Best Picture winners are like period movies and people that are important in history, basically. Yeah. Okay. And then step four, mass appeal. So you're going to want to appeal to, like, everyone. So, for example, I know it's really hard. You just got to get the hype. You have to get the hype going. Okay,
you got to get the media train
going. So, let's say, like, The Revenant. Like, you heard that the movie was going to come out. You're like, Leo, you haven't won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it this year, dude. So, there's that hype already.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're really rooting on Leo. They're going to see the movie. They're like, I'm giving him my money. We're going to get him to win. So, there's a lot of hype with it. Okay. And then, not to mention his acting. Like, a lot of people were like, that bear scene was so intense. Like, his acting was off the charts. So, the Academy hears all of that. So, they have the hype in them, too.
They've got the hype in them.
So that's basically it. You just want all of those things.
Okay. So
and there you go.
Yeah. So, as long as you check all those boxes, you are pretty – you have a shot at least getting nominated for Best Picture.
Yes, you do.
I read that back in 2018, they had considered adding a popular movie or popular film category because
– people were getting pissed.
Well, yeah, because, like, I guess it used to be, like – back before the turn of the century, which this century, so the 21st century, blockbuster movies and big movies and stuff like that had a shot at getting Best Picture. But now it's basically, and how many times do we already say this? Like, the movies that we're seeing get nominated didn't even come to theaters where we live.
A lot.
I know we live in the middle of nowhere, but still, you know.
Doesn't this one theater, they have like a screening of all of the nominations?
Yeah, sometimes the theater will get in, and that's really nice. Oh,
sorry.
Sometimes our local theater will get in screenings like after they know what the nominations are, which is really nice because otherwise.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, we wouldn't get to see these movies until I guess we could rent them. But
yeah, like Redbox has an Oscars category, right?
Okay. I haven't gone to a Redbox in so long. But yeah, a lot of these movies aren't really, they're more art house films or kind of like less big release films. So that's why they were thinking of doing a popular movie category, but it did get shot down. But that doesn't mean that in the future there won't be something like that for movies that are very popular.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, because then you could have, I'm trying to think of like a big movie this year. I don't know.
Joker?
Yeah, but that was that nominated. Irrelevant?
Okay, something different.
Yeah, something like, if, like, let's say that the Star Wars movie was really universally loved, mm-hmm. which it wasn't quite the case, but yeah. just for kicks and giggles, it probably would never get nominated just because it is a Star Wars franchise movie. You know, it's just not taken as seriously as far as, like, the technical, mm-hmm. you know, like, artsy part of movies go. So,
yeah.
But if we have that separate category, then, you know, it could go up against the Avengers movie or the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. You know, it could
sickening.
Have...
Sickening. It always... fucking... the Marvel Universe would always yeah. win. I'm sick of them. Sick of it.
I like the Marvel Universe. Have you seen the most recent...
DC movie?
Yeah.
Birds of Prey. Yeah. I want to.
Oh, we went to it last weekend.
Okay. Before you say anything about it, I've heard that it's really good. True or false?
I mean, that's their opinion.
Oh, you didn't like it?
The first half of it, I was worried. Like, it was not very good. It kind of got itself together in the second half when they started actually, like, having a story.
Okay.
I don't know. If you see it, you'll know what I mean.
So
I wouldn't say it's bad. I just was like, they did a lot of voiceover and, like, flashbacks for, like, a long time in the beginning of the movie, which I kind of was like, okay, let's get on to, like, what's actually happening now. Because they'd, like, be doing something. I'll be like, freeze, blah, 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 voiceover, and then go back 3 days ago. This is what I was doing. You know, they just did that, like, a ton. And it kind of got a little old for me. But once they kind of started going and the girl group got together, mm-hmm. then I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Was Jared Leto in it?
No.
Okay. Good.
Nope. The Joker, they broke up, so he's not in it.
Okay. That's probably who needs,
like, the worst Joker that we've ever seen?
The Joker's so toxic, like,
emo Joker.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't edgy enough. He was, like, sad emo boy.
He was. Like, a TikTok guy.
Like, soft boy.
Soft Joker. Boy.
What, e-boy?
E-boy, yeah.
E-boy Joker.
That's so accurate.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Joker?
I mean,
there's so many.
Now I can't think of any. I guess Heath Ledger is probably the one that I remember the most, just because it's the most recent, mm-hmm. besides Jared Leto. Do you have a favorite Joker?
I would say, Heath Ledger or, like, Jack Nicholson was good.
Mm-hmm.
But those are kind of my top two, I suppose.
Yeah. This is going to be an aside, and probably nobody will get this, so I might cut it out. But have you ever heard of the movie The Room?
Yes! With Brie Larson?
No.
Oh, no.
I think that's called Room.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It is a movie, like, acted, directed, and written by Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's probably one of the worst movies ever made, but...
it's got only 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. But so this Tommy Wiseau guy, he's like a terrible actor, but he insisted that he be the star of the movie. So if you ever are, like, bored and just want to look up some of the scenes, they're just terrible. There's such scenes as, like, I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Like, class. Like, I'm weird. But anyway, this guy.
Oh, hi, Mark. There's actually a YouTube clip.
Okay. Yes, it's a very well-known, terrible, terrible movie. But he did actually really kind of compelling Heath Ledger tribute on the internet.
Bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hey, Johnny. What's up?
I have a...
Yep, that's it. He did a Heath Ledger, like, he did Heath Ledger's Joker, and I almost want to say that he should be the next Joker, because it was just, had this weird manic energy that was unpredictable, but I don't think he'd take direction well, but if you haven't, I would say rather than watching The Room, watch The Disaster Artist with James Franco about the making of The Room.
I really, really want to watch it.
It's, James Franco is Tommy Wiseau, and he looks a lot like him, but, like, a better version.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think in this cover art, like, he does look
bad. Yeah, and I have thought James Franco was handsome in the past. I will admit that.
I don't think anyone would be opposed, to be honest.
No. Well, I don't know. There's something about, like, the heavy eyebrows and just kind of, like, the brooding look. He was Was he in Freaks and Geeks?
I was just going to say, have you ever seen Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah. I think that's probably where that comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, thinking, you know, having a little crush, maybe.
Little bad boy.
But yeah, I do think that he's either handsome or looks like he might have scabies. Like, there's no in between for James Franco.
James Franco, yeah.
Like, okay. In Pineapple Express,
oh yeah,
he's funny, but he's disgusting. Yeah,
he kind of grows.
Yeah, going off that.
We should take a little break.
Yeah, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back with the rest of the nomination process. And
I'm going to watch the rest of this clip.
Yeah, we're going to check out some more of the Room clips because they're just so bad.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. Hello, we have a special segment for you tonight. It is a game that my friends and I made up, so it's not real, but it's called Movie Dinger. Shout out to Katie and Kelsey.
This one's for you.
Yeah. So essentially what happens is we start describing a movie in very vague terms, not really being specific, so that the other person has to guess what movie it is. And obviously the longer it takes, the worse you are at it. So... all right, yay! Let's begin.
Okay.
All right, so I'm thinking of a movie where there's two sisters. One sister has a problem where it's an issue that kind of results in something that makes her have to go live elsewhere. And it is kind of in a cold environment. And
Frozen!
Yes. Okay. Your turn.
My turn. I'm thinking of a movie where a woman is on an island and she's surrounded by all other amazing women.
Okay.
And she starts learning special skills and she's the best at it.
Okay.
And one day an airplane crashes on her island and it's a World War II fighter. And... she saves him from drowning because his airplane crashes in the water from the island.
Okay.
So she rescues him, and then the war comes onto her island, and it breaks through a barrier that's protecting the island.
Wonder Woman.
Yes!
I was almost not going to get it, but... I'm thinking of a movie where there is a boy... and he is kind of a rough cut guy. Like, he's not very sophisticated. He's had a rough life.
Okay.
And he kind of falls for a girl who's, you know, had a better life.
Okay.
So anyway, he thinks he doesn't have a chance with her. So basically, he ends up going out into the desert, we'll say. And he finds something there that allows him to get a chance with her.
Aladdin!
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that you're picking Disney movies. Doesn't stand a chance with her.
Doesn't stand a chance.
I'm thinking of a movie that there's a land.
Okay.
It's the world, but it's lacking people. All the people are gone.
Oh.
And it's sort of a wasteland, if you will.
Okay.
And
post-apocalyptic, got it.
Yes. And the man that we follow has a set of rules that he follows to survive.
Oh.
And along the way, he meets a guy, and this guy really likes hostess treats.
Oh, Zombieland. Or,
yes!
Okay, I was like, what is it called? Okay.
This one's Double Tap, but I haven't seen it, so I just thought I'd go with the original.
I was thinking the one with, I think it's Will Smith, but there's like zombie things.
Oh, yes.
But I can't remember what that one's called, so.
Listeners, if you remember.
Yeah. This movie starts out in a very unassuming, basically like suburb or kind of like a small town, and a boy lives there and he's kind of had a hard life. He lives with relatives that don't really appreciate him.
I already want to say Harry Potter.
It's already Harry Potter. You got it. That was too easy.
It would have
been funny. I was going to say like a British small British countryside town, but I was like, that would give it away.
You should have just kept going and be like, but with what? Love it. Gretel and Hansel, I can't do that. Molly looked up the reviews and she decided it didn't look good.
Well, I don't know. I'd go to a matinee. I just don't want to go by myself.
Really? You wouldn't go to the movies by yourself?
Oh, I have many times.
Oh, I was gonna
But I don't like to go to spooky movies by myself.
Is that a spooky?
I think it's supposed to be kind of spooky. Maybe I'll go by myself anyway. Maybe that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I don't know. Valentine's Day is a solo movie.
Oh. This is a story of a man. And he...
This is a story of a man.
Cried a river and drowned the whole world. Okay, so this is a story of a man, and he is kind of a lone wolf. And kind of goes through life, kind of just, you know, average. And then he finds a girl, mm-hmm. and they fall in love.
Oh, yes.
As they do.
As is wont to happen.
And all the while, there is kind of something that happens to him. He gets diagnosed with a deadly disease.
Is it warm bodies?
Nope.
Okay, keep going.
So he gets diagnosed with this disease, and he meets a guy who says he can fix it for him.
Okay.
And so he puts this chemo-type therapy into his blood system, and it reacts badly. So he's trying to get out of this treatment center that is treating him for this, and he sets the place on fire and he gets very badly burned. And so he can't go back to his loved one because he doesn't want her to see how hideously deformed he is. But
Phantom of the Opera. I wonder if I've seen this movie.
I think you have.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, so he doesn't want to go back to her, but it turns out this therapy that was in his blood gave him some sort of powers where he doesn't get hurt. If he cuts off a limb, it grows right back.
Oh, Deadpool. Okay.
Okay.
That one was tough, but yeah. I didn't remember. Yeah. Oh, I had a hard time remembering the whole, like, chemo part of it.
Yeah.
But now I do.
All right, last one.
Okay. I'm just going to do this one.
All right.
And it might be obvious, but that's okay.
Okay.
So, this is a story about, you know, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. They are both traveling to a new place. And, of course, there is a divide between them because one of them has more money than the other. It's always, you know, such a hard thing to overcome. But they do overcome it, but have to do it in secret because the family of the girl doesn't approve. And she's actually already engaged to somebody else. So anyway, they kind of get away in secret. And she gets down to his level, I guess you could say. But in the meantime, they don't know disaster is coming.
Oh.
Disaster strikes. Okay. And that's just the tip of the iceberg because a lot more happens.
Oh no.
The whole situation starts to sink, like going down fast.
Oh no. I want to say Titanic.
Yeah. I was trying to like give subtle hints.
Sink. Yeah. It sinks.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
You would think those are giveaway words, yeah. But they weren't.
All right. Well, if you played along with us, we hope you had fun, and maybe you can go and play movie dinger with your friends sometime while you're waiting in line for something.
Or, fun, you can rate and review, and in your review, you can leave a quick, like, little blurb of a movie you're thinking of.
I love that idea.
And we can play with you.
Yes.
Cute.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's Movie Dinger, and we'll be back with a few more Oscar facts right after this. We're back. Just real quick, I want to finish up with how you win an award at the Oscars. So we talked about the nomination process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that first ballot that gets sent out. And then after that first ballot, when all the nominations are in and tallied up, what happens next? They basically send out a second ballot. And to my understanding, everybody can vote on these ones, like the second time around. So it's not just, so like the nominees are nominated by people in their field,
mm-hmm.
but like the actual winners are chosen by everybody.
Okay.
And everybody picks like their favorite in all the categories except Best Picture. everybody writes down, like, they rank all of the nominees in order.
Can you imagine, like, why is the only winner that's coming to mind Leonardo DiCaprio? But can you just imagine him, like, chilling at home, and then he gets, like, ding dong, and it's, like, Oscar ballots, and he's probably sitting there chilling with his, like, hot girlfriend or whoever he's dating at the time.
Some, like, Italian model.
And he's like, Patricia, what do you think, who should win the Oscars this year? And, like, he's just picking the freaking Oscar winners. Like, could you imagine?
Flipping a coin, picking the winners. Yeah. You know, I wonder how many people do kind of, like,
do research.
Or just, like, vote on their friends. Like, oh, I'm friends with that guy. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him win.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is people that they would be working with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I did read a little bit on that. It's, like, all about the people you know. So if you're in with, like, let's say, like, MGM Studios, then they're going to obviously vote for their people that
they I never thought of that. Yeah,
that they produced.
Yeah, because they'll want their studio to win.
Right.
So if they, you're
because then you get the
point
credit.
What happens after all the votes come in? I think for the all categories except for Best Picture, it's a simple, like, tally of the votes. But since the Best Picture ones are ranked, I guess it's pretty complicated. You have to get at least 50% of. So they look at everyone's first ranked picture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get at least 50% of the number one spots to win.
Okay.
And that hardly ever happens because people are ranking them, you know, according to their own taste. So if that doesn't happen, then they'll go down to the second place and factor that into it. And if that doesn't clear a winner up, then they'll go down to, like, the third ranked movie. So it's not necessarily that the Best Picture has the most amount of votes, just that it is the common consensus, like, rated highly among the most people. I guess if that makes sense, then I guess you win your award and
carry that 8-pound baby back.
Do some bicep curls.
Don't sell it, though. How dare you?
Don't sell it. We can sell it for $1 back to the Academy, I guess. Mm. But a lot of award winning happens because of campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Campaigns to movie studios spend millions of dollars during Oscar season, which is, like, I feel like it starts in, like, September or October, kind of through the end of the year previous.
Mm-hmm.
Just promoting it to the right people, trying to get their name to the right people that they know are in the Academy.
I did read about that. The Oscar campaign, a lot of people think it's rigged because of that, but movies actually can spend up to $10 million more dollars on an Oscar campaign. So, for example, I found The King's Speech.
Yeah.
And typically that movie wasn't supposed to do that great. It actually only grossed, or it was initially supposed to gross, like, $30
million. Okay.
But because they did this whole campaign, it actually grossed $400 million in the box office.
Oh, wow.
So I guess if you generate the conversation, and then Harvey Weinstein.
Controversial.
Boo. He's
not really controversial, just
boo. He's just kind of known for doing these type of, like, aggressive marketing strategies.
Like, aimed at the Academy, or, like, aimed at that type of thing?
Yes. So, for example, it's how Shakespeare in Love took home the prize in 1999 over Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, which was an obvious favorite for the time.
Okay. Yeah. I read that they did try to ban this type of campaigning about 40 years ago just because they felt like it was turning into whoever had the most money to spend on a campaign, like, winning.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go over very well just because it's hard to say, to tell, like, a movie studio that they can't advertise their film.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to, I guess, control how they're advertising it. But there are some regulations on, like, you can't bribe.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that still happens, I think it's up for debate. Yeah. But yeah, basically they were like, well, if we can't advertise our movies, we're not going to make money, and it's a business, so you have to be able to advertise. So
yeah,
campaigns are probably here to stay.
So that makes me wonder. So, like you said, Birds of Prey wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But, like, when we watch previews for it, there's, like, you know how it, like, big words flash on the screen saying, like, best movie of the year or whatever, best action movie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that could almost be fabricated, right? Like, you can say anything you want.
Yeah, or you can definitely cherry pick. If you read a review that's four paragraphs long and you pick certain words or phrases out of it that, you know, maybe they criticize this part, but they liked this part and that's the part they put in there.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they, you know, if you have an affiliation with that studio, you might receive kickback from promoting that movie. Mm-hmm. Possibly. I could see that happening. I don't think there's any law. Like, critics aren't really governed by, like, a law. I mean, I don't know. How can you tell if they're being honest about their reviews, I guess? I don't know how you would. Another controversy that has happened in the past is, well, the recent past, is basically people calling out the Oscars for being white men.
Yes.
So
even like this year, that was a huge thing.
Yeah. I think it was all of the directors. Well, there was 8 or 9 movies for Best Picture, and mm-hmm. they were like all white people except for the one that won.
Parasite, yeah.
Yeah, and most of the nominees and everything were white men for a lot of different categories. That was a big deal in 2016, is kind of when that controversy started to be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the second year in a row that people noticed that all of the acting, like every category for acting, was all white. Like mm-hmm. there was no minorities nominated.
Yeah.
So the Academy said, yes, there is kind of a problem. There were only about, in 2015, 25% of the Academy was female and only about 8% was minorities. So it's kind of hard, you know, when I guess a lot of the movies that get picked are like men's stories, like 1917, exactly. The Joker, yeah. You know, a lot of these are stories about men, mm-hmm. and I suppose men relate more to those stories, so they might not even be realizing that they are picking, mm-hmm. you know, these stories about white men. It's just kind of what they relate to, because that's who's on the Academy.
Right.
But I don't think that that is representative of the country, or, you know, what should be representative of the movie business, so.
Yeah.
Basically, the Academy realized that it does need to change some.
Yeah.
So they've pledged to double the amount of minorities and women in the Academy by 2020, I believe they were supposed to do. So how they kind of went about doing that was asking more and more people to be in the Academy. So previously, they would only ask maybe 100 people each year to mm-hmm. join. In 2019, they invited like 850 new people.
Wow.
And half of those were women, I think, and a third of those were minorities. That was pretty good, I think.
I mean, showing improvement of,
yeah,
at the least.
It didn't change, like, since there's like 8,000 people in the Academy, it didn't change the overall makeup that much. I think it increased the amount of women by 1%, and the, like, percentage-wise of minorities stayed the same, but there's more of them now. And there was actually backlash over that, because some people that were in the Academy thought that, you know, there should be certain standards on who can get in. These people weren't as well decorated with the awards and stuff as some white men that maybe didn't get asked.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, it could just be because there hasn't historically been as many opportunities for them to win. So, right. You know, if you go by the purely most awarded, decorated people, it's probably going to be white men. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to change, you know, maybe look at talent, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Try to at least equalize it a little bit. So yeah. That has been a big controversy about the Academy.
Hopefully it gets better, but mm-hmm. I have read that the Oscars is kind of a dying thing a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just in 2018, it was a record low of dropping, like, 20% from the previous year. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe it's dropping even more. I don't really watch it. I mean,
I feel like it's like, a TV thing. And, like, so many people don't watch TV anymore.
Right. That's exactly why I didn't watch it. I'm not going
to
go get
cable just to watch the Oscars, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they just need to kind of update it and have it more integrated with streaming of some kind.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's also freaking long.
Bring back the 15-minute award.
Yeah. Like, it's like 3 hours or more long. So that's just a long time to sit and watch.
Yeah.
All of that. So just one small controversy that I saw was they are talking about kind of trying to shorten up and tighten up the whole flow of the Oscars by leaving some things out of the televised portion anyway.
Like what? What would they be leaving out? Yeah, and that's
the thing, is they kind of picked some categories that I guess they didn't think people would miss. But the people who are, like, being awarded in those categories and their fellow actors and that kind of thing are like, these people are just as important as, you know, the actor to the film. So it's really not fair to say, we're going to televise the Best Supporting Actor, but we're not going to televise the Cinematography Award or yeah, whatnot, because
that's true.
That's a big part of the movie. So
yeah,
it's hard because yeah, they want to be fair. They want to televise everything, but at the same time, there's a lot, it's just a very long show. I know there's been controversy over their in memoriam portion as well. Did I say that right? In memoriam?
Like the people that they show that are dead?
Yeah.
It can get lengthy.
Yeah, because I guess they want to televise as much as they can, but they do have to edit that down for time. And so a lot of people are like mad about who they pick to be on that, because there's actually more people that are included in that, like being honored, but they you have to go like to their website to find it. They're not televised.
Dang. Well,
what would you say is your favorite kind of movie?
I enjoy a lot. I enjoy movies a lot. I like the probably fantasy.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big fantasy fan too. Like,
wrap me up in a different world. Let me forget about the troubles of that's exactly actually going on.
Have you seen a good movie lately that you'd like recommend people to go see?
The Marriage Story.
Okay.
Because that's actually Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
And Adam Driver's in it, which I really enjoy him as an actor. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson, Laura Dern won Best Supporting Actress for it. And overall, it's a great movie.
What's it about? Like, without giving away any spoilers.
Basically, it's just like this couple who are going through a divorce. And it's very raw. And okay, I'm not a child of divorce, but it's super, I don't know, it's kind of enlightening, I guess, what it could be like, I
suppose. Yeah, and I guess I am also not a child of divorce, so.
But I mean, you're married, so I mean, it kind of gives an insight on that even, like if you're in a serious relationship, how like the troubles and woes relationships go through.
Well, and like almost half of the kids out there, I guess, are children of divorces. Yeah,
statistically.
So, I mean, that's definitely, I think, an aspect that is interesting to explore in movie form. So,
yeah, it was really good.
I would say my movie that I would recommend that I've seen lately, I really enjoyed Little Women. I went to that with my mom.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I watched like the really old version when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think I read the book at some point, but I would say that this is the better the better way to experience it is this last movie. They kind of did modernize it a little bit, and as far as like you could tell, there were themes about feminism and that kind of stuff coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys weren't like the guys were actually really cool in it. Like
Timothée Chalamet,
yeah, like his character was just, you know, very basically a nice guy. Like I guess it's a good model for men overall. Like it didn't talk like they. The characters in the story were like women's strength and that kind of thing, but not at the expense of having the men be the opponent, I guess you could say. Because a lot of times I feel like those kinds of stories make men to be like they're overcoming the male oppressor or whatever. And this, it wasn't really that way. It was just kind of like fellowship between women. And I really enjoyed, I loved Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, I really like her too.
And Florence Pugh was in it.
Okay.
And she's kind of a new coming on the scene, but the couple movies that I've seen her in, I think she's been really good. I saw her in Midsommar, which is a weird movie, but I don't know if I would say I loved that movie, but I thought she was good acting wise in it.
Okay.
But she was fun in Little Women as well. So
nice.
Yeah. What kinds of movies? Recommend us some movies because it's still freaking cold here. And
it's like negative 20, I think as low as
chill.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, recommend us some movies to watch on these long winter nights that we can curl up with.
Yes.
All right. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Do you like animated movies?
I do like animated movies.
I feel like there's some people that are really against it.
Yeah.
I like them too. But I have a kid who likes them.
Yeah. I won't say that I go to like all of the – I didn't go see things like Trolls or Minions and that kind of thing.
Oh, like not in theater. But like if it was on Netflix, would you watch it?
I probably wouldn't like pick it to watch.
Okay.
Like I would watch like Frozen or Moana or like those types of things. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like there's movies for like an entire family to enjoy. And then there's movies for like, that's a kid's movie. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I know Will hates musicals. How does Jesse feel about musicals?
He doesn't really like them very much either.
I remember we went to, I forget what, I think it was Moana, and I don't know why he didn't expect that to be a musical, but we got in there and he's like,
Disney.
Oh, it's a musical. I'm like, Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, like, The Greatest Showman, because we went to that. Yeah. And I was like, Jesse, you really need to see it. Like, Hugh Jackman. You love Hugh Jackman. He's like, it's a musical. And then we rented it, and he really liked it.
Yeah. I forget what movie we recently watched, and Will was really afraid it was going to be a musical because they sang, like, one song in it. Oh, a movie that I thought was really good that I recently watched was The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I think I'm saying that right.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's kind of a really different movie. It's like vignettes. So there's like, I want to say like five different little sections that aren't really related to each other except for the fact that they're in the Old West.
Yeah.
But it starts out with like a cowboy singing a song. And so Will was like, is this a musical? I'm like, I don't think so. Let's just keep watching. But my favorite section of that was the gold prospector section part of that. So if you watch it,
I'll keep my eye out.
But yeah, I think that's all about the Oscars. If you have any other questions about the Oscars, let us know. We can look it up for you. Or if you know anything about the Oscars, let us know.
Tell us.
Any scandals that we didn't cover or anything like that. So we don't know what we're doing next week.
No, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll advertise it. Maybe a little better this time. I don't think we said anything about the Oscars this week.
We didn't. I think I put something on Twitter, but that was it.
Speaking of our social media, follow us on Facebook. What's it called? Just like the Exposed Pod. Yeah. And then Instagram is This Is Our Podcast with underscores in between. Mm-hmm. And then Twitter is
Exposed Pod, at Exposed Pod.
Okay. And then we have a website, theexposedpod.com. So yep. There's all that.
Sure thing. Well, until next time, we'll see you around.
See ya.